And Tina, I was thinking along the lines 2 weeks ago about what I was going to share, and Thanksgiving I know is behind us, but I wanted to bring something toward a heart of gratitude. I'm not going to ask you to turn to Luke 17. I want you to stay there. I want to read a couple other verses. This is from 1 Thessalonians 5, and I just want this to minister your heart for a moment. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Something that moves my heart closer to God, encourages me, is when I'm around someone who is genuinely thankful, to have a spirit of thanksgiving about around an individual, but to have that minister to me and to you is a blessing. On a similar vein, when I hear someone who's genuinely unthankful, it really bothers me. It strikes me deeply, especially if that person is a Christian. Look, I know as believers, we're not exempt from hard things. It's part of living on this side of heaven. But God has something to say to us. Hebrews 13:15, one of my favorite verses when it comes to this thought of having a thankful heart. It says, through him, that is, through Christ then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. Luke 17, I want to read that text, 11 through 19. While he was on, that is Jesus, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And here's the note, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Verses 11 and 12 speak to the situation. Jesus, at this point in his journey on earth, is near the cross. He's, I believe, within a couple weeks or even less before he will go to the cross. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Luke notes that in that first verse, while he was on the way to Jerusalem. Soon it will be the triumphal entry in chapter 19, but that's where he's headed. And it's toward the end now, perhaps within 2 weeks or less of his earthly ministry. And our Lord's time on earth is short-lived for him at this point. He's on his way to the cross. The cross awaits him. The redemption of mankind is near, and he has this situation. And he deals with it. The place there is somewhere between, it's on the border of Samaria and Galilee. And it's a village. We note that in verse 12, as he entered a village, it's an unnamed village. We're not sure where it is. But there was a need there. There were 10 leprous men. So there's the place. He enters this village. And by the way, I believe this is a divine appointment from the Father for the Son for the lepers. And an opportunity for you and I to have it recorded that we might consider ourselves. So Jesus stopped. It was orchestrated in eternity past that this would be his place on this day. He's God in the flesh, and he's going to work a miracle in the lives of these men, men who were desperate. In doing so, we again see him expressing his love, his grace, his mercy, his heart to the hopeless. I love that about Jesus. He touched and ministered to people that were untouchable by society. Now, his heart was there. He enters that village. And there are 10 men there that are absolutely desperate. Look at verse 12. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. Now, we can read over that, but this is why Jesus stopped. He stopped to help them. They are desperate. They cannot help themselves. They are hopeless. Beyond anything that anyone can do for them apart from Christ, they are without hope. So you'll note their request here. They raise their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They had no hope apart from him. I was thinking about our current situation with COVID. If someone coughs or gets sick, what's the first thing that goes through our minds? Well, they have, they have COVID. They have the virus. Then where does it go from there? You guys' minds don't go from there, right? Are they going to make it? Are they going to die? Our mind seems to run with these kind of scenarios. But with COVID, the chances of getting it and recovering are very, very, very high. But with leprosy, in that day, there was no recovery from it that I know of unless God intervened. There wasn't a medical resolve to it. There wasn't help there. You couldn't go to a doctor. You couldn't have some medicine that would get you out of it. You were isolated from family and friends. You know, one of the things with COVID that has been so disturbing to me is the isolation that happens if it's a nursing home, if it's a hospital. You go in, you see nobody. That has a dramatic effect. I mean, there are people you don't know that are ministering there to you, and we thank God for that. But, boy, this really, really impacts people and their ability to get through that. If you were a leper, you were isolated. You were isolated from those within your village, your city. And this is a lifelong disease, and it has enormous ramifications for that individual. Once you were pronounced unclean, unclean by the priest, I messed with somebody this morning. I said, unclean, unclean. But once, if a priest did that, your life is changed in that moment. You're an outcast in society, and you'll notice they speak to Jesus from a distance. They're not allowed to come up in close contact. That's just what it was. You couldn't have the jobs that others could have. And so, what do? They see Jesus, and I believe they've heard something about him. Out of their brokenness that goes beyond any imagination, dreams shattered, isolated, so forth, they cry out. They cried out to him. Why? Why would they do that with Jesus? Why not someone else? It's Jesus. Master, have mercy on us. I believe it's because they had heard something. Turn with me back to Luke 5. Certainly, word about Jesus and his power and his ability had gone forth. Luke 5, verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And look what Jesus did. He stretched out his hand and did what others would not do. He touched this man. He touched him, saying, I'm willing, be cleaned. And immediately the leprosy left him. That incident would, I believe, have been known among others with these 10 men. And by the way, they're together because these are the only ones they can be together with. You can't hang out with anybody else. You're a leper. And that's what. So this news certainly had traveled. You know, that is one thing about good news, is it does travel. They knew that the one who could heal them was before them. The presence of Jesus gave them hope. Brother, sister, did he not say he's always with us even to the end of the age? Remember that. His presence changes things for us. Now, I want to ask some questions at this point. Do you pray? They're praying. You know, we could say they're praying to the Lord, help us. I want to ask you a question. Do you pray to the Lord for your situation? You know, I think often Christians, we pray around the world, around our families. We can go a lot of places with that. Do you pray at times for yourself? I don't believe it's a selfish act unless it's a selfish request. But does God not want to help you, want to empower you, want to use you mightily for the kingdom of God? Jesus, at his lowest point, who was he praying for? He was praying for himself. In the garden, not my will but yours be done. The Apostle Paul, when he had this thorn in the flesh, he implored the Lord how many times about it? Three times. Three times he prayed about his situation, and God gave grace in both of those. But it's not wrong to say, Lord, I need your help. Desperate here. I need you to move in my heart. They prayed to the Lord. What happens when we pray? God moves. He answers prayer. Look at verse 14. When he saw them, he said to them, I'm back in Luke 17. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Here's the Lord's response. Jesus saw them and told them what they must do. This healing didn't take place until they did according as he had instructed. I don't know what went through their minds at that point, what they were expecting from Jesus. Maybe they were expecting, like I heard he did with that other guy. He spoke, he touched, and immediately he was healed. But they believed he would grant their healing. And they knew they had asked the one with the power, and so they did what he said. Jesus could have dismissed them and said, I really don't have time for you guys today. That's not the heart of our Lord. He could have looked the other way. He could have pretended he didn't hear them. I could pretend that real well. I don't hear so well these days. I could have kept going. I love what he did here, don't you? He is for the brokenhearted. He's for those who are hurting. Instead, he told them what they must do in order to be well. As they went, the healing power of God in the flesh was released. I would have loved to have walked next to those guys. I'm not sure how far they had gone toward the temple to find a priest. And by the way, they need to go there because they can't be released from their situation and their diagnosis until the priest says, you are clean. But as they're going, something changed. And I've wondered if they saw it in the other person or if they saw it on themselves first. But as they're going, the power of God was loosened. At some point, I'm sure, they looked at each other in utter astonishment and joy as to what had happened. And the scripture says, verse 15, that as they went, they were cleaned. In verse 14, they were cleansed. In verse 15, now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his feet, fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. It's interesting. The scripture seems to tell us that the rest of these were not Samaritans. They would have been a part of, I believe, the Jewish community. But there was this one. He was a Samaritan. And Samaritans and Jews were at odds with each other. They didn't have much to do with each other at all. But there was this one. None of the others did what he did. Luke points out that he points this out, that he's outside the Jewish community of faith. This was, by the way, the same community that rejected Christ, that did not want the Messiah that he was. They wanted a Messiah of their own making, one who would cast off the rule of the tyrannical Romans and allow them to live as they wanted to. Jesus, in his first coming, came to seek and to save the lost. They didn't want that. But here, nine men seem to have forgotten what God had done in them. They didn't return, but he did. He did, and you'll notice what he does. He turned back glorifying God with a loud voice. Boy, others were taking notice. What is wrong with that guy? Listen to what he's saying. He's giving praise to God. Wasn't he that leper? I see him differently. He's been cleansed. He just gave his praise to God. I love that. He gave thanks, though. It tells us that here. He fell on his feet, fell on his face, his feet, giving thanks to him. He's praising the Lord. He's before him. He's understanding what had happened. This foreigner gets it. He had no hope. But when he cried out to Jesus for mercy, Jesus freely gave it. Do you remember when you discovered your leprosy? Not the skin type, but the soul type. And you also discovered, when you became aware of your sin, that you couldn't fix it. No amount of religious practice, no amount of dedication, no amount of starting over, no amount of resolve, hey, I'm going to do better, would get you where you needed to be. But there was someone who could fix it. You couldn't. You were an outcast from peace, joy, forgiveness, the body of Christ. You had no relationship with God. You, in fact, just like me, were in line to incur the wrath of God. But God, in his grace, allowed us to see our great sin and a great Savior. You cast your eyes to the cross. You discovered the fix was in. You cried out to him, and whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And your response and mine should be similar to that of the Samaritan in giving thanks to God. Have you ever thought this? I can't believe the Lord saved me. Have you ever thought that? It's amazing, isn't it? And, you know, I think that about myself, and sometimes I think that about others. I think, I can't believe the Lord saved them. It's amazing. Just simply amazing. And here should be, this is really the center from which we express our thanksgiving to God that, hey, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was in line to incur the wrath of God, but he saved me, gloriously forgave me of my sin, cast it as far as the east is from the west, gave me his presence now, this peace I have now, joy I have now, purpose I have now, so much. We were in part of our Thanksgiving. We made an adjustment because usually what happens at our Thanksgiving meal is that Becky gets everything hot and ready to go, and I pray and I say, wait, let's give thanks. Go around. What do you have to be thankful for? Well, that is a great time, but the meal gets cold. So we made an adjustment this year, and we said, well, we're going to bless the food, and then and I let everybody know, as we sit down, as we are at our table, we're going to go around and give you opportunity or multiple opportunities to give thanks to the Lord. It was so beautiful to hear that individuals say, this is what God did for me this year. I can't believe it. Sunday night, what a joy that was. It was a different service than I think we've ever had. We had our Thanksgiving praise service. Typically, we'll have some music, special music in it. We didn't have any this year, which was fine. What we did was we sang some hymns, and the group that was here, we passed a mic around to those who wanted to express glory to God, and it was beautiful. Oh, it was so precious. But this is what we need to be consistent about. I think our minds naturally go to complaining. They naturally go to looking at the negative. They naturally go to, woe is me, woe is the situation, woe is country, woe is... They can easily go there. But we're the redeemed of the Lord. Last I knew, we have a glorious future and a great present right now. The Lord is with us, working in us, and so forth. I'm not saying that we don't recognize hardship and difficulties. We do. But in the middle of it is our God who makes a way. The final synopsis here, Jesus says it. He said, Jesus answered him, were there not 10 cleansed? This man is before him on his face, and there's one there. Where are they? Weren't there 10? But the 9, where are they? Verse 18, was no one found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? This is the heart of our Lord. I believe his heart rejoices when we give thanks. I also believe it touches him when we're not. And he said to him, stand up, go, your faith has made you well. Jesus gives a final synopsis. He noted that 90% of those who had received abundant grace and healing never gave it a thought to stop and give thanks. It does take an effort. I want you to see that here too, right? He stopped. He was headed. I don't know how far the temple was. I don't know where in that journey they were. I don't think it would have been a long way because he's in the village, and I believe there's a temple there. There's priests there. But this guy stopped. You know, he could have gone on like the others and said, well, I'm clean now. He stopped and went back, and he gave thanks to the Lord. It does take an effort. The Samaritan did just that. Notice the blessing and the freedom in which Jesus sent him with. Stand up, go, your faith has made you well. Well, when we express thankfulness to the Lord, he notices and it pleases him. And I have to say one other thing with that. When we express thankfulness to the Lord, he notices, and I believe it's a joy to him, it's pleasing to him. But I want to say this. It's really, really good for our spiritual life when we do that. It's really, the scripture again and again and again and again calls us to give thanks to the Lord, calls us to do that. My mind goes to Job, and I'm not necessarily saying he's giving thanks, but you know, when he had everything wiped away from him except his wife, he lost 9 kids. He lost his testimony in the community, his standing in the community. He lost his all his wealth, it was gone in a moment. Remember what he does? He gets on his face before God and he says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, he struggled through that, as all of us would. But there's a resolve there with Job, and that is, you know what? I'm going to yield my life to the Lord, and I'm going to express to him what's in my heart. We need to be men and women who are full of thankfulness to the Lord. I'll finish with this. When we lived downstate, there was a local pastor, and I had pulled into a gas station to get gas. He was on the other side of the pump. We were getting gas, and I remember it being a difficult time as far as my perspective for our country, I'm pretty sure we just had a president elected that I thought, this isn't good. And I just remember, I'm like, hey, how's it going? He's like, you know what? It's going well. We have so many things to be thankful for. And I thought, here I am grumbling about the politics of the nation, situation that I see. And this man he gets it right. God has all this right. Past this election, you guys, doesn't God have all this in his hands? He does. He's still in control. Whoever wins it, he's still in control, and we have reason to rejoice. How many of you are redeemed to the Lord? Say so. Wow, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Loving Father, help us in this area. Our hearts can wander so fast because of circumstances. Circumstances that often are beyond our control, sometimes are of our own making for sure. But Father, I pray our hearts can be in this place just like this leper, this Samaritan, this foreigner who really understood he'd been set free by the Savior of the world. Father, give us hearts overflowing with thanksgiving to you. We bless your name. In Christ's name we pray, amen.